Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are continuing our discussion regarding Kishuf and Mazikin. The Gemara, all the way back on Kuf Tesam and Beis, asked the question: how can the Chachamim be misakin a mitzvah derabbanan of Dalakosos, considering the fact that the number is 4-4 is an even number, and we know that anytime you operate with an even number, so it's an invitation for damages by both Mazikin and Kishufim. And the Gemara, with that question, launched into an extraordinarily long tangent regarding the inyanim of both Mazikin and Kishuf. So Kuf Yud Aleph, and now what is going to be today's Daf Kuf Yud Beis, not all of it, just a fraction of it, but still, over two blotted Gemara dedicated to the topic of Mazikin and Kishuf. Admittedly, it is a really hard topic, considering the fact that we do not have any practice on these issues, and should say, thankfully, but nevertheless, it is something that seems extraordinarily foreign to us, and so therefore, it makes this particular limud quite challenging. But anyway, continuing along from where we left off yesterday, Amar Rav Yosef. We are about eight lines from the bottom of the Amud, continuing right where we left off. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tlas Mile, Yaiv Arvono Lenohora. So for these three activities, which are practices that are dangerous, a person could lead to blindness. Number one, Man Desarek Resha Yavesh. Somebody dries his hair while it's dry, meaning not while his hair is wet, but while his hair is dry. Number two, Man Deshasi Tif Tif, drinking the wine that comes out, even the little droplets that come out. So you're drinking all the way to the very bottom of the barrel, even the little drips. And number three, Man Desai Misani A De Maisina Kara. Before your feet get dry, while your feet are still wet, you put on shoes, and these three activities are going to be spiritually hazardous. The Gemara continues, Talai Bebeise, Kashalana Yusa, person hangs bread in his house, so it is going to be a simon of poverty. People say this. People say that when the basket is hanging, presumably the basket of bread, so your mizonos are going to be hanging as well, meaning that you're going to really struggle to have a parnasa. Now, specifically bread. But if it's meat or fish, so then there is not a concern. Or chehi. It's normal for people to hang meat. Just think of the salamis that the people hang, or at least we used to in yeshiva. Around the house nowadays, not so much. But anyway, pari bebeise kashlani yusa, if you have bran in the house, so that also is a simon for poverty. Bran is a inferior quality of bread. Obviously, we're talking about somebody who can afford more. And so if you have the, if you're just buying bran bread and you could have, and you could have done better, so that's a simon of anius. Nishur bebeise kashlani yusa, if you have breadcrumbs in the house, that's also going to be a simon. You're right, you're not careful, you're not meticulous, you're not clean. You just allow breadcrumbs to lie around the house, so it's a sign for anius. B'leila Shabbos v'leila Revias Shara Mazikin Elave. Now, both on Friday night and Tuesday night, the Mazikin are given permission. This statement of the Gemara, which we're going to see already a couple times in the course of today's daf, so we're going to get an explanation for it at the very end of today's daf. So wait till we get to the end in terms of an explanation of why specifically on Tuesday and Friday night do we have a extra vulnerability to the Mazikin. And now the Gemara is going to name some names. Yisur de Mizonin Nakid Shmei, the supernatural force that's going to be in charge of the Mizonos. His name is Nakid, meaning cleanliness, meaning that the cleaner you are, the cleaner you keep your house. So the more it's going to ward off this kind of mazik. Yisur de Aniyusa Naval Shmei, the minister that's in charge of poverty. So the name of that is Naval. And so once again, if you keep your house unkempt and you're disheveled and unorganized, so you make yourself susceptible to this kind of mazik. Sa pumi dechatzve kashlan yusa. If you put the plate at the mouth of the barrel, so that's also going to be inciting poverty. Mandishasi mai b'tsai kashle lebrukasi. If you drink water straight out of the bowl, so that's going to be bad for your eyesight. Da achel tachle v'lamashi yadei. If you eat cress for 30 days, if you eat cress and then you do not wash your hands afterwards, so that invites the ruach ra, and you're going to be suffering anxiety for 30 days. Continuing now on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the misukah v'lamashi yadeh, if you bloodlet, and after bloodletting you do not wash your hands, the Rashbam over here says, specifically bloodletting between the two shoulder blades on the back, and you do not wash your hands, mafchit shiva yume, you're going to have anxiety for 7 days. getting a haircut and not washing your hands after having gotten the haircut. So that's going to invite anxiety for 3 days. The shakel to cutting off your fingernails and not washing your hands. So that's going to bring about anxiety for 1 day. Now, it's a kind of anxiety where it's irrational. You don't exactly know why you're anxious, but now we know that it's because of these spiritual forces that you weren't careful in terms of washing your hands after these particular activities. Yada usya dargla pachta. If see somebody putting their hand on their upper lip, so that is one step away from suffering from anxiety. Basically, you could tell these are tells, if you will, that the person is suffering from anxiety. Yada pusa dargla shinasa. You see a person put their hand on their forehead, so that's a tell that they are tired and they want to sleep. Tana ochle mashkin tachas amita. If you put either food or beverages under your bed, afilu mechupim bekli barzel, and even if they're insulated, even if they're protected by metal, they're encased in metal, ruach ra shoraleim, but still they're going to become susceptible to ruach ra. And then, of course, it goes without saying, eating them is going to be spiritually damaging. Tana rabbanan lo yishta adamayim v'lo belele revios v'lo belele shavasos. A person should not be drinking water, not on Tuesday night and not on Friday night. V'im shasa dama briosho, mimnei sakana. And if you do so, you are taking your life into your own hands. It is spiritually dangerous to do so. My sakana ruach ra, the Gemara says, it's ruach ra. So let's say you drank on Friday night, you drank on Tuesday night. I think it's fair to say, although, that, again, these are areas that I do not have any kind of, forget expertise, but let's just say, I think it's fair to say that the water that was in your house and guarded, protected, so that you're allowed to drink on Friday night, right? I think it's fair to say that. I would look around, and typically people do drink water on Friday night at the Shabbos meal. So I imagine the Gemara over here is talking about water that went unprotected, or maybe water from the outside. Whatever the case is, but Friday night and Tuesday night are nights in which the Ruach Ra are circulating. And again, we don't know why yet, and we're going to wait till the end of the daf. The end of the daf, we're going to be given a smaller opening, a smaller window into why that is. But anyway, so with that stated, so now you did drink either on Tuesday night and Friday night. So my tekante, so what way can you treat it? The Gemara now is going to list for us five different ways to ameliorate the situation. So number one, alema shiva kolosh emar David alamayim. So what you should do is you should say these psukim in Tehillim has to do with a Kadosh Baruch Hu associated with water, and so that will afford a protection over the water that you're about to drink. The Gemara's instructions over here is to first say the psukim and then drink. Shenamar the pasuk says, Kol Hashem alamayim elakavod hirim Hashem alamayim rabim Kol Hashem bakoch Kol Hashem behadar Kol Hashem shaver azim beyishaver Hashem esarzeil vanon Kol Hashem chotzev laavoseish Kol Hashem yachil midbar yachil Hashem Midbar Kadesh Kol Hashem Yecholal Ayalos VeYechetzof Yarosu VeHechalo Kulmo Amir Kavod. It's interesting that we do end up saying this parak of Tehillim on Friday night in Shul as part of Kabbal Shabbos, and perhaps, just perhaps, maybe it has something to do with what we just learned in the Gemara. But anyway, that's one possibility of what you can do. Ve'ilo Lemahachi. The Gemara says there's an alternative way of how to deal with this, having had drunk water either on Tuesday night or Friday night, and that is there's an incantation. And the incantation reads, Lushafan anigron anir defin, ben koch ve'yisivne ben blishmeine azilna. The incantation, most of it goes right over my head, but the end of the incantation is explained by the Rashbam. Is basically, there are fatter people out there in the world, and you're basically telling the Mazik, look, don't go after me. There's plenty of other people that are much more appetizing and much more delicious than I am, and you can go after that. The Gemara gives a third possible remedy. The third way to try to drink water on a Friday night would be to wake somebody up and then announce that so-and-so, the son of so-and-so is thirsty and would like to drink. And now you're basically making an announcement to the mazik, and there are now two of you. And now with two of you, strength comes in numbers, and the mazik is going to be less interested in attacking two people, only really interested in only attacking one person. The Gemara says an alternative would be to just simply take the lid and bang it against the side of the pot, and that way you're going to scare away the mazik somehow. Or the Gemara says throw something in there, meaning basically, again, make some sort of sound and then drink it. And again, giving the impression that there's other people there. Okay, so five different strategies of what you do, what you can do or what you should do in the event that you want to drink water, outside water, on either a Tuesday night or Friday night. Later, we're going to come back to exactly what the challenges are, what the problem is about specifically Tuesday night and Friday night. In the meantime, let's continue. Tan Rabban lo yishal damayim lo min ha-naros v'lo min ha-agamim ba-layla. Person should not be drinking water, not from rivers and not from swamps at night. So over here, when you're drinking water that's coming from a natural source and it's nighttime and you can't see what you're drinking, so it's dangerous. Now, of course, you can give a very simple rational explanation over there, and that is that there are bugs and snakes and small things that are in the water, and you start drinking it and you're not looking at what you're drinking and it's coming from a natural source, so you can ingest those things which are really harmful to you. But as per the theme of the Gemara and the context of the Gemara, that's not the direction the Gemara is going. The Gemara is saying is that there is also some metaphysical danger in doing so. The Gemara describes it as sakana shavriri, so it leads to some sort of blindness. V'itzachi mai takanti. Now, if you did drink, so is there a takana? So here the Gemara is going to give two strategies. So first strategy, like we saw earlier, that is wake somebody up and have them with you and announce that this person is thirsty. So now you're basically announcing to the mazik, and it's not just you, it's somebody else, and again, strength in numbers. Now, v'ilov, that's not a possibility. Leima iu l'nafshe. The Gemara says, otherwise, here's what you should say, and say the following out loud. Panaya amra li imi izdaher mi shavriri shavriri beri re 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 yi re re tzachina maya bekase chivri. So an incantation. And the basic idea behind this incantation is that you're saying the name of the mazik, and then each time you're saying it, you're taking a letter off of the name in order to try to minimize and really reduce the threat that this mazik is posing to you. Ad Khan. That takes us now to the end of the discussion of the Gemara regarding Kishuf and Mazikin. We are continuing in the Gemara. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. Okay, what I expected is that the Gemara now is going to be discussing halacha from the Mishnah. Not so fast. The Gemara is going to be taking us through another really long tangent. These upcoming Gemaras are going to be really interesting as it details for us various words of advice given to us by the Tanaim and Amoraim. The Afilim and Atamchoi v'chulei pshita. So the Gemara says, now what the Mishnah tells us seems to be really obvious, going all the way back to Tzadik Chesem and Beis, where we're introduced to the idea that a person has to drink dalakosos, and if a person is not within his means to be able to afford dalakosos, he goes to the local soup kitchen. And from there, he picks up 4 cups of wine. And despite the fact that he is dirt poor, but he still needs 4 cups of wine for that evening. So the Gemara says, well, I think it's obvious. The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Lo, nitzrucha alafil Rabbi Kiva damar. So the Gemara says, no, because our Mishnah over here is telling us a chiddush. Let's assume that we subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. What is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara tells us, asei shabbas chalchova al titzarech lebrius. So you should make your Shabbos like a weekday and not look for a handout from others. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that means that Rachmanis, a person, is really in kind of a financial situation that his weekday meals are nothing special. But the truth of the matter is that he can't afford a special Shabbos meal as well. And so his means is really not allowing him to be able to make Shabbos special in any way. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, so make your Shabbos like a weekday. And on the other hand, you could make the argument that Shabbos is really special, and Onik Shabbos is really special, and borrow money, or at least seek a handout. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not the derech a person should be, but the derech a person should live by is that even on Shabbos you should live well within your means. That's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. So hacha. So over here, what would Rabbi Akiva say? Now you're going to the Tamchui, the local Tomchei Shabbos, and you have nothing. You don't even have wine. So you could have made the argument now that according to Rabbi Akiva, so how much wine should you be able to take for yourself? So you need Kiddush, take 1 cup of wine. This idea now that you're going to be taking 4 cups of wine, so you could have made the argument that according to Rabbi Akiva, don't do that. So that's the Kiddush of our Mishnah. Ha chamishum persumei nisa. So moda. So Rabbi Akiva will tell you that because the dalakosos is a function of persumei nisa, reminding us of the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us upon Yitzias Mitzrayim, so therefore it is incumbent even on somebody who cannot afford it, to go ahead and avail themselves to the 4 cups of wine. Tan de Bei Eliyahu fa pishama Rabbi Akiva asei shavas chachovah al tisarech lebrios. So the Bei Eliyahu wants to try to modify the statement of Rabbi Kiva. Yes, Rabbi Kiva says that you should live within your means. Aval, however, but still there's something you should do that shows and indicates that today is Shabbos. So at least a little bit of variance to show that today is a special day. My new, the Gemara says, I'll give an example. Amira Papa Kasa Daharsana. So let's say fish entrails, fish brine, whatever. Let's call it herring, even though it's not the perfect translation. But basically, something special that makes everyone understand, makes yourself understand that today is Shabbos. And Kidnan, the Gemara says, now how do I know that there's this idea that really what you should do is you should really extend yourself, stretch yourself, make it so that there is something that you do that makes this day special. So the Gemara says it's based on a Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, a Mishnah that we're all familiar with. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabor Omer, Havi Azken Amer, each person should be strong like a leopard, and Kal Kanesher, light like an eagle, and Ratz Kutzvi, fast like a deer, Vigibor Ka'ari, and strong like a lion, Lasos Ritzon, Avicha Shebashamayim, to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means to say that a person should take on the character traits of animals. That truth of the matter is that there's no way that we're going to be as fast as a deer, but nevertheless, it's something we should strive for. So that means to say that we really should put effort and endeavor. And over here, for the person who just simply does not have the means, but still, you should put in the extra effort and just do something that makes the Shabbos noteworthy and makes you recognize that it's a special day. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Shiva Devarim Siva, Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Yoshua, but no, there were seven things that were instructed from Rabbi Akiva to his son Rabbi Yoshua. So we now know that Rabbi Akiva had a son. We also know that his name was Rabbi Yoshua. Is that the one in the same as Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha? So the Rashbam says yes. If you take a look at the top Tosfos on the Amud, so he quotes the Rashbam, Perish Rashbam, Duhu Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, the Rabbi Akiva Kerechayah. Rabbi Akiva was bald, and so therefore when they referred to Rabbi Yoshua, they described him as Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So Tosfos himself really does not like that pshat. Ve'enira, if you drop to the end of this Tosfos, a short Tosfos. Ve'enira shiyeh gemara korea oso ben karcha derech genai. Shari nanshu anarv shekaru le'elisha Allah kerech. U'ben azeh karei kein derech bedichusa. So this idea that you just, that we are flippantly describing Rabbi Kiva as a kerech, the Tosfos says it's impossible to understand. We know that you're not allowed to give somebody a nickname. A derogatory nickname it falls under the category of Onas Devarim. So over here, it's really difficult to imagine that Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha is none other than the Rabbi Yoshua that we're describing right now, specifically the son Rabbi Akiva, and the word Kerech is used as a nickname for Rabbi Akiva. So Tosfos has a very difficult time imagining that's correct, and so the Rashbam, you have to say something in defense of the Rashbam. The Rashbam believes that it's a justifiable nickname, and okay, so on a different occasion, not now, we can go back and forth in terms of trying to give svaras for the Rashbam and Tosfos. But anyway, we continue in the Gemara. And now we are going over seven pieces of advice that Rabbi Akiva is giving to his son, Rabbi Yoshua, and they are number one, B'ni al teshev begovah shel ir v'tishna. So number one, don't sit at the high point of a city and learn. The way the Rashbam understands this is that you're just simply not going to have the proper state of mind to learn over there. There are plenty of people over there. The Rashbam writes, I'm reading, Makom shebnei ir over v'shavim v'yivat lucha. And they're just going to distract you from learning. You're trying to learn, you're trying to master Mishnayos. And meanwhile, people are going to be there all the time. People are going to be asking questions all the time. Don't learn over there. In other words, find a place of quiet and tranquility to learn. Number two, you don't want to live in a city where the heads of the city are Tamid Chachamim. They're going to be so engrossed in their learning, they're not going to be spending the proper time necessary for communal manners. Number three, v'alti kanes lebeischa pita'om, don't walk into your house all of a sudden, meaning knock on the door before you walk into the house, kol shekein lebeischa v'erecha. And over here, the Gemara makes a simple kavah chomer. If this is true when you're guarding your own house, so for sure when going into somebody else's house, you should knock before going in. Right? An obvious point, but still, the Gemara spells it out. Number four, fourth piece of advice given by Rabbi Akiva to his son, Rabbi Yoshua. Al timna min alayim yiraglecha, always wear shoes on your feet. Number five, ashkem ve'achol bekayitz, mimnei achama v'choref, mimnei hatzina. Breakfast being the most important meal of the day. The Gemara right here, Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis, supports that. Rabbi Akiva tells his son, Rabbi Yoshua, wake up early in the morning in the summertime and eat something. It'll help you weather the hot weather. And in the wintertime, it'll help you weather the cold weather. Number six, asei shabbas chachova al titzerech lebrios. If you don't have the means to spend on Shabbos, don't spend on Shabbos. And Shabbos will be like a weekday in terms of the food that you're going to be having. But better than that, than asking for a handout. Number seven, v'havei mishadel im adam she'Hashem esacheches lo. You should be involved in, with a person who is having great mazel. Attach yourself to people's success. And the Gemara over here clearly is of the position that we're talking about financial success over here. Amar Rav Papa, lo lemizbe mineva lo lizvune le. Rav Papa says, we're not talking about where you're going to buy something from the successful person or sell something to the successful person. That's not what we're talking about. Ela lema'ave shudfus bahadei. It means make a partnership with them. Good. So Rav Papa's understanding is that if there's a person in your community successful, so what you should try to do, endeavor, is to create a partnership with him. And that way, his mazel is going to rub off on you. And quite frankly, if you make a shutfus with him, then his profit's going to be shared with you as well. But okay, that's the basic idea. The Hashadamer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Maidichsev, the Pasuk says in Eve, Maisei Yadav Berachas Kol Anotel. I'm sorry, Maisei Yadav Berachta. So that as far as Eov is concerned, this was obviously before Kadosh Baruch Hu took everything away. This is the beginning of Sefer Eov. And every one of his actions are going to be blessed. Kol anota pruta mi Eov misbarech. That every pruta of Eov is going to be blessed. Afilo mizba mine luzvun elei shaper dami. So now, basically, we're going to go back and that, although Rav Papa said that don't buy to him and don't sell from him, but now what we're clarifying is no, actually, go ahead and buy and sell and even just taking a pruta from a successful person, so that mazel is going to rub off on you. Okay, so obviously, we had for years, the Rebbe was giving out dollars and people were taking dollars and, you know, obviously he gave it to them for tzedakah, but anyway, but that's, okay, you could find a source for it right here in our Gemara. Chamisha dvarim tziva Rabbi Kiva is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Kesheya chavish beveis ha'asurim. So there were five things that Rabbi Kiva instructed to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai as Rabbi Kiva himself was in jail. So before the Gemara tells us what the five things are, the Gemara gives us like a little intro to the story. Amarlo Rabbi Lamdini Torah. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says to Rabbi Kiva, remember, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was the second round of students of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva started off with 24,000 Talmidim. They died. Rabbi Kiva started again. All this as per the Gemara in Yevamos. So, and in the second round, Rabbi Kiva selected five students, one of them being the Rashbi. So over here, Amalo Rabbi Lamdeni Torah. So now at this juncture where Rabbi Kiva now is in jail and probably in prison for having taught Torah. So now, Rashbi is right there at the prison and begging, his Rabbi to teach him some Torah. So Amar Eini Melamdecha. So Rabbi Kiva says no. And presumably the no is based on the current situation. So Amar Lo, im ein ata melamdini ani omer liyochai abi, umosrech lamalchus. So Rishimah Yochai says something amazing to Rabbi Akiva, really difficult to understand, and that is that he basically threatens Rabbi Akiva, if you don't tell me, I'm going to tell my father on you. This is Rashbi talking. I'm going to tell my father on you, and he's going to be most of you to Malchus. Now, most of you to Malchus, right? So many basic issues over here. Number one, Rabbi Akiva is already in jail. So what exactly is Masira going to do? Rabbi Kiva is in jail, and as we know, he's going to be executed. Although, it could easily be that this particular stay in jail was not the one immediately prior to the execution. It could be an earlier incarceration. But I don't know. I'm just speculating. But on top of that, the other obvious issue is, of course, you can't be a Moser, right? You're, to be a Moser, to rat on somebody and have him be punished by the government. So that is an Isser Gomer. It falls into the category of Rodef. We saw that at the end of the Gemara in Baba Kama. We saw it with the story of Rav Kahana. You're Chayv Misa if you're a Moser. So I'm imagining, I think, that over here it's just an expression. It's just basically the Rashbi saying to Rabbi Kiva, it's really important to me that you teach me something. And I don't think at this point that we're supposed to be taking the Rashbi literally over here. He's just showing Rabbi Kiva how important it is. So Amar Lo Bini Yosef Mimasha, Eagle wrote to Leinik, Paru wrote to Lahanik. So Rabbi Kiva says to the Rashbi, you really don't understand. Of course, I understand the need for you to learn Torah. And he says, and let me tell you, I want to teach you Torah more than you want to learn Torah. And the analogy over here, we get this analogy a couple times throughout Shas, but the analogy of a nursing cow and its calf. The calf wants to drink, the cow wants to nurse even more. So Amar Lo Umi B'Sakana, V'Alo Ego B'Sakana. So the Rashbi says, okay, let's work with that analogy. Who's in danger? Meaning in the event now that the calf doesn't get nursed. So who's going to be in danger? The calf is going to be in danger. The calf now is not getting its nutrition. So in this analogy, so you're putting me in a terrible position. You have Torah to give over to me. You're not giving me over the Torah. So I'm the one who right now stands to lose. Amarlo. Okay, so with all that now, we are going to go over the five pieces of advice that were given by Rabbi Kiva to the Rashbi. Number one. If a person wants to get hanged, so find a really big tree. This is not to be taken literally. There is no way that this is the advice given by Rabbi Kiva to the Rashbi. He obviously means something else. Take a look at the Rashbam over here in terms of what exactly is the intent. So the Rashbam is the first really wide line. He writes, I'm reading, third line from the bottom. So you want to say something that people are going to accept. So that means to say that if you want to say over a halacha and you want people to accept you, so make sure that you hang it on a large tree, meaning that you heard it from an adol gadol. Now, the way the Rashbam understands it is that you're going to be learning in front of a gadol. Make sure, this is what Rabbi Kiva says to the Rashbi, make sure that you learn in front of a gadol, so that now you're going to be able to quote the gadol, and people are going to listen to you, because now you're not just saying over halacha, but you're saying it over, b'shem adam gadol. That's number one. Number two, ukishata malamid has been chalam deo b'sefer mugeh. Now, when you teach your son, make sure that you are using a manuscript that has been properly edited and checked over. Mahi amarav avitemer av misharsha bechadata. You're going to make sure that this is a case when your child is young, meaning learning for the very first time. And why shabeshta kevin da'al? Because if any mistake while the child is learning in his youth, so that mistake is going to stay with him for a very long time. And so therefore, make sure that the sefer you're using is correct and as mistake-free as possible. And make sure that when teaching him for the first time, you're teaching him properly and correctly. Number three. Don't cook in a pot that your friend cooked. This is euphemism. And the Gemara here spells out the euphemism. Marrying a divorcee where her ex is still alive. So we have a statement. The Gemara quotes in Baba Basra. We see it over here as well. And that is that when you have two divorcees in bed, being intimate with one another, so they're thinking about their previous experiences as well. And it just makes for something which is awkward, unpleasant, uncomfortable. And the Gemara over here saying the Gemara is not saying, of course, that it's aser. Obviously, it's not aser to marry Grusha. It's mutter to marry Grusha. It just simply means that as far as advisement is concerned, so you're under advisement. Rabbi Kiva is advising the Rashbi that this is not a practice that you should do. But obviously, you can do it. You shouldn't do it. The Gemara goes even one step further. This is not just limited to a grusha; it also applies to an amana as well, to a widow. The fee is returned to the amud beis she'in kol shavus, because not all men are anatomically the same. And again, the woman's going to be comparing her new husband to her former husband, and it just makes for a difficult slash awkward situation. But again, it's not aser; just simply under advisement. Number four. A mitzvah v'guf gadol, ochel peres v'lo sachar. So the fourth piece of advice given by Rabbi Kiva to the Rashbi is you could do a mitzvah v'guf gadol, ochel peres v'lo sachar. That is very vague. The Rashbam goes on to explain over here. Basically, you want to lend money to somebody. You want to lend money, but at the same time, you're lending to another Jew. You're not going to be charging interest. Is there any way that you could profit? So ostensibly, the answer is no, because if you're going to profit, that means you're going to charge interest. You're not allowed to charge interest. However, what you can do is you could do something like Mashkanasa Desura. The Rashbam here brings it down. And the idea of Mashkanasa Desura is basically the following, that you're going to lend the money, you're going to take as a collateral the property of the borrower, and with the following terms, the following agreement. And that is that, let's say, for example, it's going to be a 10-year loan, and for those 10 years, you're going to be able to work the land and get all the yield of that property. So now that yield is going to be serving as payment for the loan. And even if the yield is going to exceed the loan amount, that's going to be fine. Why is that not going to be a violation of ribis? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses this extensively. But meanwhile, it's just a manner. It's a way in which you can create a situation where you're lending money to another Jew, performing a tremendous mitzvah. At the same time, you're ochel peres. You're able to also literally eat the fruit. Number five, mitzvah v'guf tahor no se'isha v'lo banim. So mitzvah v'guf tahor, you want to do a mitzvah and have your body remain in the state of tahor, so you're going to marry a woman, v'lo banim. Now, the simple reading is that you're going to have children, although that's hard to imagine that that's advice given by Rabbi Kiva to the Rashbi. Marry and have children, that's the first mitzvah in the Torah. So that's a little bit difficult. Probably, the Rashbam here doesn't say, but probably the Pshat in the Gemara is that if you already have children, still it's important that you be married. Let's say, for example, you have already had children, and you either become a garish or an almon, and you're a divorcee, you're a widower, and at this point in time, you say to yourself, "I don't really want the pressure and the responsibility of a wife." So what Rabbi Kiva is advising is, no, you should get a wife. In other words, in that way, you'll have a guf tahor. You'll be able to remain in a state of tahara by having a wife, and that way, all your yitzhara could be channeled to your new wife. Okay. That is the five pieces of advice given by Rabbi Kiva to the Rashbi. Continuing in the Gemara, Arba Dvarim Tzivu Rabbeinu Kodesh's Banav, there were four instructions that were given by Rabbeinu HaKadosh to his sons. And number one, Al Tidor B'Shach Natsiv Mishum De'Leitzani Havu Mashkulu B'Leitzanusa. So don't live in the town of Shach Natsiv, because there are a bunch of jokers over there, scoffers, and they don't take themselves or the Torah seriously. And so he says, okay, so don't hang out in that area. Very specific piece of advice, but obviously for us it could translate to make sure that you surround yourself with serious people and not jokers. Number two, Al Teshev Al Mitzas Aramis, don't lie down or don't sit on the bed of a non-Jewish woman. Now, what was that? What was meant by that? So the Gemara is going to give, within this piece of advice, three different understandings of what that could mean. Number one, don't go to bed without saying Kriya Shema. So saying Kriya Shema before going to bed, either as part of Maariv or as part of Kriya Shema Lamita, either way, if you go to bed without Kriya Shema, so it's basically like going to bed like a non-Jew. So that could be one pshat, a second pshat of the Gemara. Don't marry a Giyares. She may not be careful regarding... she may not be careful about halachas. The way the Rashbam understands it is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Mishum da'amrin and giura ad asare darai lo tivze arma'a be'ape. So there's a certain sensitivity that you have by giures, first generation, second generation, even 10th generation. So, okay. The third way to understand it, ikad da'amrin arma'as ma'amish mishum ma'isa dara papa. It could be that just read the statement of Rav Yehuda Anasi and take it super literally. Don't sit in a bed of a non-Jew. And the Gemara over here references an incident with Rav Papa. The Rashbam over here quotes it really succinctly. There was a moment in time or an episode with Rav Papa where a woman owed him money. It happened to have been a non-Jewish woman, and he went to her to go collect. And so he went into her house. She told him to sit on the bed. Meanwhile, what she did, in preparation for his arrival, is that she choked her own son, put the dead son under the bed, and as Rav Papa sat in the bed, now she accused him of killing the son. And the way the Rashbam tells the story over here is that he had to go into exile, meaning the charges obviously trumped up. He had to go into exile as a result of that. That's the way the Rashbam presents the story over here. Truth be told is that we went over this entire episode of Brachos, and the truth be told is that we got a slightly different version of the story, but anyway, let's stick with the version that the Rashbam gives us right now. Number three, Al Tavriach Asmecha Min Ameches. Don't try to evade taxes. Duma Mishka Chulei V'Shakli Minach Kol De'Islach. Because what they're going to find you anyway, and they're going to take everything from you. So don't try to evade taxes. Now, there's also, again, going back to the Gemara Baba Kama. Right, second time we made reference to the end of the Gemara Baba Kama. We talked about Moser, also about tax paying. Right there, towards the end, it's definitely in the 10th paragraph of Baba Kama. So the Gemara says over there, you have to pay taxes because dina de machusa dina. So it's interesting that our Gemara over here does not cite the principle of dina de machusa dina. That's the principle of Shmuel. Our Gemara over here talks about how you're not going to get away with it. Okay, could be that we're talking about different types of taxes, possibly. But anyway, the number four, al tamar bifne ha hashur b'shasha olam in ha'agam imne sha'asata merakin main karanav. Don't stand in front of an ox as he's coming out of the swamp because the satan is dancing between his horns. It's an expression. It basically means that the ox is really, at this point in time, he's crazed. And it puts you in terrible danger. Amar v'shmol b'shor shachor v'yomah Nisan. V'shmol gives very specifics over here regarding the ox. It's a black ox in the month of Nisan. Tini rav oshia marchikim mishor tam chamisha mama. Safe distances from a short tam. It does not have any real record on it. So 50 amos is a safe distance from a shore tam. And from a shore muad, which obviously now has a record and it's damaged three times, killed three times, whichever shore muad we're talking about. So kamalo einav, basically, as long as you could see it, you know you're in trouble. Tanam Mishmei de Rebbe Meir, Reish tu Rebbe Dikula, Sak Le'igra V'Shade Darga Mitutech. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rebbe Meir that you see the head of an ox in the basket. And so that means even though the ox is not looking at you, but now you run and you try to protect yourself. So and go up to the second floor and take the ladder and throw the ladder down so that the ox can't go out, it can't follow you. Do every precaution to protect yourself from the ox. I'm Rav. Rav says the following. If you want to bark orders at the ox, so the way to encourage it to get it to move is to say the words hein hein. And niza da arye zezeh. And instructions given to a lion. Okay, this is the way the Rashbam is explaining it. Basically, you're trying to get it to go in a different direction. The Rashbam does entertain another pshat that we're talking about an incantation over here, but the Rashbam says no. We're just talking about the way to direct it. So for the ox, it's hein hein. For the lion, it's zezeh. Niza de gamla dada. The instructions for a camel's dada. And niza da arba. Now for a boat, in other words, you want to tell the, I guess we're the sailor, the rowers. Anyway, hilni haya hila, hila kule. Not really sure that these are words. They're just simply barking instructions that you give. Amar Abaye. The Gemara now is going to give us some more words. And actually, this is going to take us back to a little bit regarding the Mazik and the Kishef. Amar Abaye, or dog the kos, chamenu beisim v'chinim levanim, kulan kashin ledavar acher. Okay, there are a number of items that are going to be dangerous and will lead to davar acher. Generally speaking, when we talk about davar acher, we're talking about saras. Over here, we are talking about abaye, so there was actual saras in the time of abaye, or possibly there's something that was similar to saras in the time of abaye. But anyway, the Gemara now is going to take us through each one of them and explain what is, in fact, each one of these items that we just described. Or mandegane amashche desal. If you are going on high, that's not properly tanned, and so the Gemara says that's really dangerous. It's not properly tanned, and you know I can give a more rational explanation that you know it's still got a number of contaminants on it. But whatever the case is, it's just you don't have to give a rational explanation. But basically, that leads to tzaras. Now that's one. Number two, dag shivuta biyom nisan. So specifically, the dag shivuta, it's a type of fish in the month of Nisan. So the Gemara says it's dangerous. Don't eat that. Number three, koshiura kasa daharsana. So leftovers of kasa daharsana. Kasa daharsana, we just learned, some sort of fish hash. So in of itself, it's good. And in fact, we learned earlier that's a way of indicating that today's Shabbos. But the leftovers of it is really not good. Don't eat the leftovers of it. Next, chamin chamim ede chamim mishadri lave. Bathing in really hot water, it's not good. Hot water is fine, but really hot water is not good. Beit Aman de Midrach Aklipim. Somebody walking over the shells of eggs, that's not good. And Kinim Levanim, Man de Mechav Levushe Velo Natirle, Tamne Yome. Somebody who has cleaned his clothing but really hasn't expected and examined it for 8 days, Vahadal Levushla, and then puts it on. So Birnyan Hanachinim Vikashla Davar Achir. So what's going to happen is that you have the eggs, right? I can call them lice, even though probably not right, but anyway. So they're basically your clothing is still infested, and when you put it on, so it's going to be kashal adavar acher. It's going to be dangerous. Amar apapa beisadis beishurna lo neil ba inish below masne. If there's a house and it doesn't have a cat in it, so let's do it the other way. If there's a house and there is a cat in it, so don't go into the house barefoot. And the Gemara goes on to explain, my time, mishum deshunra kata lechivi, because what typically happens is that the cat is going to kill the snake. The achalei, and the cat's going to eat the snake. So far, so good. But, however, v'isbe bechivya garme kitina, but there's small bones in the snake. V'i yosiv le garme dechivya akari lo nafik v'istakin le. Now, the cat's not going to eat those small bones. Those small bones are going to be left on the floor. You're going to step on one of those small bones, and you're going to really injure yourself. So, not good. Igadamri, the Gemara gives a slightly different version. Beisa de leis be shunra, lo nail be inish be hachra. If a person does not have, now this is going to be the other version. If you don't have a cat in the house, so then don't go into the house barefoot at night. So my tamadoma mechrech be chivi, because now without a cat, So you don't have the snake exterminator, and so therefore there could be snakes running around the house. V'lo yadam is takin, but if it's dark and you can't see the snakes, so then the snake can injure you. Gimel dvarim siva Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi es Rebbe. There were three instructions that were given by Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi to Rebbe, and they are the following. Number one, atas mumba atzmecha. Don't make a blemish on yourself. The Gemara clarifies exactly what he meant by that. Mayhi. Don't litigate against three people. Because what's going to happen is that those three people are going to basically tag team against you. Two of them are going to break off, serve as false witnesses against you. And so therefore, it's not going to be good. Number two. Don't stand over a purchase if you don't have no money. Meaning, don't show interest in buying something. If you simply do not have the means in doing so, you could file this under Onaz Dvarim. Second time today we talked about Onaz Dvarim. Number three, Ishtecha Tavla Atizak Hekla Laila Rishon. A woman goes to the mikvah, so don't have relations with her the first, immediately after she comes back from the mikvah. Now this needs clarification, and the Gemara immediately gives the clarification. Amar Rava V'nida Daraisa. Rav says that this halacha speaks specifically talking about Anida Daraisa. Because what happens is that by nida daraisa, which is not the way that we count and follow regarding nidus, but in nida daraisa, the halacha is that she starts menstruating and she's a nida for those 7 days, whether she continues or does not continue menstruating. But let's say she continues, let's say all the way to day seven. So day seven of her yamei nida, even if she still is menstruating, she that night, as long as she stops before the night, so then she could tovel in the mikvah. But then she can go to her husband, she could be with her husband. However, considering the fact that she just finished menstruating, so it's very fair to say that there's still some dam left in her. So therefore, for that first night, so the husband should not be with his wife. Shlosha Dvarim Ksiva Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda es Rebbe. Three things that were instructed by Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda to Rebbe, and that is number one, Al Teisei Yechida B'Laila. Don't go out alone at night, V'Al Tamo B'Fnei Haner Arum. And don't stand in front of a candle while not clothed. And Al Tikaran Samechus Chadash, and don't go into a new bathhouse. Shema Tipater. Or Tipaches. Because what's going to happen is with a new bathhouse, so the floor hasn't really been tested yet, and don't be the guinea pig. So Ad Kama, so the Gemara says, at what point in time can you rest assured that the floor is going to be a safe space? I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I did base chosh for 12 months, v'al ta'amod b'fnei aner arum d'tanya. The Gemara goes back and clarifies this idea of not standing in front of a naked, in front of a light that's while naked. The Gemara quotes a braisa, omid b'fnei aner arum have a nichbe. Standing in front of a light while being naked, so the person is going to be suffering. A nichbe, typically it's translated some form of epilepsy, but in other words, it's going to weaken that condition, right? It's a breach of sneus. And the Gemara goes on to describe that also, if a man has relations with his wife in front of light, so the children, the result of that intimacy, the children that are conceived, also going to be weaker children. Tanu Rabbanan, a little bit more. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Ebraisa, Meshamesh mitaso al mita, shetinok yashen alah, so to have relations on the same bed where there is a child. And so the Gemara over here is going to be giving advice. And this advice is, again, I'm not going to be able to explain it in any kind of rational way. And so over here, we're talking obviously about spiritual forces that are going to result in having bia. The Gemara elsewhere says that there should be no other creature in the room while you are having relations. But in the event that there's a child, let's say there's a newborn, whatever the case is, so also tinuk nichbe. So the Gemara says it's going to be damaging to the child if, in fact, you have relations in the room with this infant. Now the Gemara, again, none of this is intuitive, so I'll read, I'll translate, but I'm not going to be able to provide rational explanation. The Gemara says that's only true if the child is not a year old. But once the child is a year old, so then there's no longer a concern. I guess I'm trying to give rational explanation, but I guess the idea is that once the child is a year old, so then the child has gone through enough developmental, physical development, so that we're not really worried about the child weakening. Obviously, the difficulty is that the older the child is, and the more child is aware of what's going on. But if we're talking about anywhere between 1 to 2 years of age, the child really still not fully aware of what's going on. Anyway, v'lo amarna ela de gani lahadikare. That's only when the child is by the feet. of the husband and wife. But if the child is by the head of them, then there's not going to be an issue whatsoever. And that's only when the hand is not placed on the baby. But if a hand is placed on the baby, so then there's not going to be a problem whatsoever. Again, no rational explanation over here. This is one of those circumstances where I'm just going to go on. Don't go out alone at night. Don't go out alone at night. Not on Tuesday night, not on Friday night. Because it's on those nights that this particular shade, accompanied by 18 times 10,000, 180,000 of the malach chavala yosim v'chol echav v'echad yeshlo v'shus l'chavel. Each one of them has permission to damage b'fnei asma meikara havishchichi kula yomei. And now the Gemara is going to give us the background information. Really, originally, so they had permission to go out every night, and so therefore every night of the week would be a night that's dangerous. Zimna chada paga b'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but it was one night where this particular mazik made up with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amr lei, she said, the mazik, said to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Ilav de mechrezin alach berakia, you know, they did make an announcement up in Shemaim, he's Rabbi Chanina v'sora so, sakantech, I would have done damage to you, but they told us up in Shemaim, don't touch Chanina, and he's protected by his Torah. So Amr lei, so he says back to the mazik, I chashim berakia. So goes on, he says, okay, good. So if I have that much clout and status up in Shemaim, so I'm telling you right now. So I'm making a gzera that the malachi chavala should not do any damage on any given night in a settled area. So Amrlay, so she says back to him, she pleads with him. So shavalik rav chaporta, just give me a small opening. Meaning, you can't do that. You can't make such a gzera. Okay, the back and forth over here and the guiding principles obviously are well beyond me in terms of how he would capitulate and yield to this idea that she's making a good point. I mean, you can't make such a gzera on the malachi chavala. Okay, so obviously there are dynamics and principles over here that are well beyond my understanding. But so shavik leila shabbosos v'leila revios. So what he does is he leaves for her Tuesday nights and Friday nights, and the cheshbon is, I mean, we don't see this in the Gemara, nor does the Rashbam explain, but the Cheshbon has to be that Tuesday nights and Friday nights are the nights in which people go out most infrequently. And so since they're the nights that people go out most infrequently, so that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa chose those nights to allow the Malachim to go out. So that's why the Gemara said at the beginning of today's daf, in the middle of today's daf, and now at the end of today's daf, that Tuesday nights and Friday nights are the most dangerous. We're going to stop over here, and it gives us an excellent opportunity to review. The Gemara at the beginning of the daf today went over numerous other practices that would invite mazikin and kishuv, and those are practices that you have to avoid and stay away from. Okay, all the way up to that's it. That's my. I'm not going to go through each one of the practices inside, but the one the Gemara does spend a lot of time on is drinking water on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, and the Gemara gave five different ways in terms of how to resolve that problem of drinking on Tuesday night and Friday night. The Gemara, halfway down in Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, goes back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah that says that even if you're a person that's extraordinarily poor, you're going to have to collect the dalkosos from the local from the local tamchui, from the local soup kitchen. The Gemara says, isn't that point obvious? Meaning, if it's a mitzvah, so shouldn't you be collecting for dalkosos? So the Gemara says, no, I feel even according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who says that a person should be living within his means, even on Shabbos. So one can make the argument that for such an individual, so if it's beyond his means, that person should not be collecting dalkosos. And the Chiddush is, no, that for dalkosos, from Pursuma Nisa, it becomes critical, even for such a person, even according to Rabbi Akiva. That's the Chiddush. The Gemara wants to know that according to Rabbi Akiva, does that mean that a person should make his Shabbos like a total weekday? So Tana de Be'aliyahu taught us, no, that you should do something, even though you cannot afford it, but you should do something. Really stretch yourself, extend yourself to do something to make the Shabbos noteworthy. And then Eitzas, for the remainder of today's daf, we went through advice. We went through seven pieces of advice that was given by Rabbi Akiva to his son, Rabbi Yehoshua. We went through all seven of them, was, of course, the advice of don't live above your means, not even on Shabbos. And then six other pieces of advice that were given to given. That is number one. Number two, we went over five pieces of advice that were given by Rabbi Kiva to his son. We were given over five pieces of advice from Rabbi Kiva to his Talmud, the Rashbi, with a small introduction in terms of the Rashbi demanding that Rabbi Kiva teach him, even though at that time Rabbi Kiva was in prison. And then we went through the five pieces of advice that took us all the way to the Amud Beis. Then we were given four pieces of advice that Rabbeinu Kadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, taught his son. So we went through all four of them. And Gemara then gave us other pieces of advice that were given by Tanaim and Amoraim. The Rabbi Meir in terms of what happens when you see an ox, Abaye in terms of things that are spiritually dangerous to you. Then we went through three pieces of advice that Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi instructed Rabbi. And then three things that were Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda instructed Rabbi. And then we went finally, after all said and done, we went through exactly why it is that Tuesday night and Friday nights are those nights where the Malachi Chavalah are out and about, and why not any other night. And we saw the story behind the story with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza and his encounter with one of the Shaitan, one of the Mazikin.